Over the last 2 years and 4 months, I've gone to many social occasions, either here at the parish or St. Patrick's Day party or other things, or even invited to your homes for meals. And we all like to be invited to social occasions. We enjoy the good company, the fellowship, and of course, the fine food. There is one feast to which we are all invited, the greatest feast of all, the banquet in heaven. Now, Jesus issued this invitation in the form of the parable in our gospel today to the chief priests and the Jewish elders. The king, God the Father, gave a feast for his son's wedding. Now, Jesus is the groom wedded to his bride, the church. That the book of Revelation, written by John the Apostle, describes the church as that bride of Jesus the Lamb. And for this feast, for this wedding, God sent out his servants, the prophets of the Old Testament, to invite the people to the wedding, but they would not come. The chosen people were not living faithfully according to the covenant. So the king, God the Father, sent more servants, more prophets, but they would not listen to them and mistreated them and killed some of them. Now that's what happened there. And so God the Father says, the feast is ready. But those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads. Invite to the feast whomever you find. That what do we see happen with the church? That the chosen people had largely rejected the invitation from Jesus, unfortunately. But huge numbers of us, non-Jews, the Gentiles, flocked into the church. That we see the church in the first century become less and less Jewish and having more and more Gentiles in it. That it goes and all those found on the streets were invited into the church. Jesus invites us to a banquet, to the Eucharist. And goodness and love will pursue us all the days of our life. And we look forward to dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That in our first reading, we had the prophecy of Isaiah about God preparing a banquet for all people. A banquet of fine wine. And we can see how God was preparing the people for all of the nations to be included. That it's not just the Jewish people as the chosen ones, but all peoples. That the banquet prepared is of this rich food, the choice wines. Juicy, rich food. Pure, choice wine. And that is what we receive in the Eucharist, in the bread, in the wine, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord, the real presence of the Eucharist. And even though Isaiah's prophecy about all being invited to taste this wine in the banquet of the church open to all people is now fulfilled, there's a warning Jesus gives us at the end of the parable. That the king noticed someone at the wedding banquet not wearing the wedding garment and ordered him to be thrown out into the darkness with the wailing and gnashing of teeth. And we can understand this to mean that the man was not living a holy life, was living a life of sin. That he was not living like one invited by God to the banquet. That the book of Revelation tells us the bride of the Lamb, the church, wears a clean white linen garment, which is the righteous deeds of the holy ones. We all have received that white garment the day we were baptized, showing that we were pure from sin, holy, without any blemish, that we were all invited to the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But we have to come wearing that white garment, properly dressed for the feast, living out holy lives, lives without sin, to show that we are worthy to be invited to that feast. And so what remains for us is to ponder as if we are properly clothed to be here at the feast? Are we wearing the proper wedding garments? Are we living out holy lives? Are we repentant of our sins? That if we're not properly clothed, not living holy lives, God the Father in His great mercy has given us the means of washing our clothes, the sacrament of reconciliation. As we receive the sacrament of reconciliation, we take off our old clothes, put on the new clothes of the grace of Christ Jesus. There's thinking common in today's world that we all will go to heaven. We are all invited to heaven. But as we heard in the gospel, all are invited, but few are chosen. That we have to be properly dressed, living a good life, to be granted admittance to the banquet. And St. Paul goes and tells us what we should be wearing, what clothes we should be putting on in the morning. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If one has a grievance against another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so must you also do. Over all of these, put on love. That is the bond of perfection. This is my last weekend here at Our Lady of Hope. It's been my first assignment as a priest. I remember the day 3 Mays ago when I got the phone call from Bishop Burbage saying that I was assigned here to Our Lady of Hope, to Father Saunders. I fell out of my chair in surprise. I wasn't expecting to be assigned here. I was so happy, so pleased to come here. It was a dream come true to me to be assigned to my friend Father Saunders. And so I came here to Our Lady of Hope, brand new to the priesthood. If you remember, I introduced myself as the other Father Scheer, holding up the T-shirt that my brother and I have, saying, I am the other Father Scheer. I have it. I wear it occasionally. We've only worn it occasionally, like maybe 3 times together. But still, I came here not really understanding completely yet what it meant to be a priest, what it meant to be called Father. The title Father is very humbling to me. That as a priest, Father reminds me that I am entrusted with a grave responsibility by our God, the faithful people, you. That just as a father must nourish, instruct, challenge, correct, forgive, listen, and sustain his people, so must a priest do for his spiritual children. The priest must especially meet the spiritual needs of those entrusted to his care, providing them with the nourishment of our Lord through the sacraments. And when I came here, I had celebrated 19 Masses. 19. I'm leaving here after this Mass. I will have celebrated 1,162 Masses. They think about all the other sacraments I've celebrated, all the baptisms, the weddings, the anointings, the one confirmation that I had the privilege of giving to someone dying. That was me feeding you all, nourishing you all with the grace of Christ through the sacraments. That as a priest, I must preach the gospel with fervor and conviction. Well, I definitely have the fervor down. But in accord with the mind of the church, challenging all to continue on the path of conversion which leads to holiness. I hope that I have started to do that as I've learned more of how to be a homilist, how to preach. The priest must correct those who have erred, but with mercy and compassion. That in the same spirit which the Father forgives the prodigal son, the priest must reconcile sinners who have gone astray but seek a way back to God. I tried to calculate how many hours I've spent in the confessional here, and the number I could come up with that sounded about right probably was still underestimating it, was 300 hours. That you all taught me how to have that mercy as a father does. That as a father listens to his children, so must a priest listen to his spiritual children, providing counsel and consolation. And while priests may be celibate, the words of our Lord to his apostle ring true. I give you my word, there is not one who has given up home, brothers or sisters, mother or father, children or property, for me or for the gospel, who will not receive in this present age 100 times as many homes, brothers and sisters, mother and children and property, and in the age to come, everlasting life. I look around this church and I see my family in the thousands. That in college, I wanted 17 children. I've ended up with much more than that. That I look at how the work I've done here at Our Lady of Hope, the work I've done in our school, teaching 7th and 8th grade, visiting the other grades, being the assistant principal, the dean of discipline last year, or as I like to call it, the Department of Defense. Of that you all gave me your children, you entrusted them to me. The work I did with the youth group, being their youth minister, helping our teenagers to continue to grow in the faith, to become young adults. Young adults who I admire, who give me so much hope for the future. I'm forever in debt to you all. And yes, it's surprising that I'm being moved now, out and in the fall. And this kind of move is what we priests call fall flurries. Because it does happen occasionally. It does happen from time to time. It's why we have a nickname for it as priests. But I'm thoroughly convinced that this is God's plan. This is God's will for me and for you. Now I look at the last several months, and I can see now how God was preparing me for this transfer. The things that I have learned from you all that I have to have at St. Rita's. There were questions the bishop asked me, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do that? And I was able to say, yes, I've learned them in the last 5 months. And so I can do them now for you. That Father Saunders told you all, he gave you a job at his last Mass to finish teaching me. Because he only had 2 years and 4 months compared to having 4 years with my brother. Well, you all have done that. You accomplished the job. And you all did that in only 4 months. I'm going to tell him that he needs to be proud of all of you all for doing that job. I know that you are also all going to embrace Father Willard as your new parochial vicar here. He's a good young priest, orthodox, traditional, as you all are. You all are going to enjoy having him as a spiritual father. That a way to show your love for me is to love him, to embrace him as you have embraced me. There's an old ad I've seen float around on social media from time to time about the priest. It goes and says, the priest, no matter where he is located, the diocesan priest has to be the sharer of secrets, the carrier of burdens, the fountain of consolation, and the pillar of strength. Solitary, he is called father by thousands. Poor, he enriches the lives of thousands. Weak, he gives strength to thousands. Unimportant, he does things each day whose importance cannot be told in any tongue on earth. He is never too busy to hear another's sorrows, often too busy to realize his own burdens. He is a 24-hour-a-day man. He is called from his dinner, wakened from his sleep, disturbed at his prayer. He is at the beck and call of any of his people. He is a target of God's enemies and a magnet for God's needy. Occasionally, he attracts attention. But usually, he works unnoticed, unacclaimed, while he does the noblest work on earth, keeping Christ in the lives of the people. My only hope, my only prayer is that I've done this, at least in a small way, for each of you in my time here. I want to thank you all for embracing me, for being my first family. I will never forget you. I will pray for you always. I will not forget the lessons you've taught me. May God bless you.